I want to talk to you this morning about two hopes. Hope for today and hope for tomorrow. Let me tell you about that and then offer you two Easter invitations. There's an interesting saying of Jesus found in John 16 and verse 33, and it goes like this: "In the world, you will have tribulation." This is Jesus' least popular promise, but we know it's true. Tribulations is a heavy word, and it's heavy because we've been there. You could say trouble. I mean, that would be a legitimate other word for this tribulation word, and it means suffering and trials and distress and frustrations. Anybody here ever have any of those? Jesus says that we shouldn't be surprised because in this world, we will have trouble. I don't know about you, but the last couple of years have been filled with a whole bunch of this trouble stuff. Suffering and trials and distress and frustrations. I saw a stat in this last week that said that in the last 2 years, for every 800 COVID diagnoses, the Google search for prayer has doubled. And that's true, because we want to know answers, and we want to know why, and we're looking for hope in the middle of the struggles that we have. But, of course, this suffering, this trouble, this tribulation that the Bible talks about, that Jesus talks about, is not just COVID. It's been around a long time before that. In fact, trouble is always lurking around our lives. Don't be surprised about this. It's always nipping at our heels. Like when you're out on a walk in your neighborhood and you go by this certain property and the boonie dogs come out and they're sort of lurking along, and if you turn your back on them, they're going to get you. And so you're careful and you're watching, but it's just always there, and every once in a while it comes out. That's, I think, how the Bible describes trouble or suffering or distress. And occasionally, trouble wrestles us to the ground, and some of us have a real hard time getting back up. When we wrestle with trouble, and we all have, and sometimes it's brought us to the mat, it hurts. When we go to the ground with trouble, it always hurts. And no matter who you are, if you've gone to the mat, if you've gone to the ground and wrestled, that trouble hurts in a way that sometimes we have a really hard time recovering, and some of us never completely recover. And those that do, I mean, if you've been through a significant wrestle with trouble, when you get back up, you walk with a limp, because we know what it's like to go through really hard time, and it affects us. So that's the first part of the verse. In the world, in this world, you will have trouble. But here's the second, and this is the Easter story, because Jesus says, "But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." So here's what we have. We have the world, and we have Jesus. And here's the ultimate question of life that I want to bring before you, because it is the biggest decision and the question you'll ever answer. The question is this: will you live for Jesus, or will you live for this world? And what is at stake here is hope for today and hope for tomorrow. It really is centers down in that simplicity of thought. Who are you going to live for? If you've come in here this morning and your hope meter is running low, I'm sure that there's somebody probably in your row, maybe you, where you know how we have kind of this hope gauge. It's like a fuel tank. And sometimes our hope is, you know, full, and sometimes it's, you know, half tank, and then sometimes it's really empty. If you've come in here this morning and your hope meter is running low, it might be personal. It might be global. It might be hope about culture and direction. I want you to know that this is why Jesus came, and this is what the Easter story is about. It is a story of hope. Jesus said in John 14, he said, "Because I live, that you can live also." That's the Easter story. That's the resurrection story. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, then maybe the story would be different. But because I live, you will have the opportunity to live also. That's the hope for today, and it's the hope for tomorrow. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." This is God's desire for you. And so if you're here this morning and that hope meter is so low, I want you to know that's not God's plan. I asked a couple of guys if they'd come help me, Elisha and Trevor, if you guys would come up right up here on the platform real quick. And I brought a rope with me. I know you couldn't have even imagined this. The choir thought we were going to play tug of war before we're done, but we're not. Maybe after we could try. Strings against, well, I don't know. If you hold this side right here, and then Trevor, could you take this rope, and I want you to go right down that aisle, and I want you to just keep walking, in fact, right out that door. All right, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Look out on the side because they're going to pick this thing up here a little bit. All right, keep going, keep going. Can somebody hold that door for him? Thank you. Keep going. There he goes. All right. We'll try not to hang anybody here, okay? All right. Oh, man. Good. That's good. That's good. Don't keep pulling. I want you to imagine that this rope doesn't just go out the door, it goes on for eternity. Down the hall, out the door, down off campus, and it just keeps going around the globe, and it goes around the globe and around the globe. This rope is a symbol of your life. And this little red part here at the end, this is your life here on earth. It is baffling to me about how much we focus on this part of our life. In fact, not only do we only focus on this part, a lot of times we focus on just this little end part. I mean, really, if you know the American dream, right? The American dream is that if we work really, 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 really hard, and if we save and save and save and save, then at the end of our work life, we'll have this little piece of life left that you can enjoy. Really. Of course, you're going to be really tired by that time, but, you know, live it up. This is the picture of our lives. And Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, he describes it this way. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generations, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." If you had your Bible out this morning, I'd ask you to write in beside it. In fact, you might want to write these notes down because they're really important for life. These two words, these two ideas, fading possessions and fleeting praise. This is what this passage describes. And it says, here's what most people live for. This one period of life, and what it really is, it's fading possessions, because everything that you're working for is going to be gone at some point. And fleeting praise, the praise of others, whoever that person might be, but at some point that's gone as well. And if our whole focus is on this, isn't it amazing that we've lost track on what the rest is? Thanks, Elisha. If you can go right down that hall, you can go right on out and take care of that. Thank you, guys. Listen to me. This is all of what most people are living for. And what if you get to the end of that point and it's all going to be gone? Listen, don't live like that. Don't live only for this. The world is full of fading possessions and fleeting praise. And that's why Jesus said, as he introduced these verses, he said, for whosoever will save his life will lose it. Save, 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 you'll lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, and the gospel's the same, will save it. So my question for you this morning is this. Will you be willing to live your life for Jesus? Or if I can say it another way, is Jesus your life? Are you going to live your life for Jesus? Or are you going to live your life for this world? But listen, the answer to that question is all about the answer that's going to result in whether there's hope for today and hope for tomorrow. I mean, if you really stop and evaluate your life, are you living for fading possessions? Are you living for fleeting praise? I mean, whose praise really are you living your life for? Who's going to be the primary audience in your life? Will it be Jesus? No matter what others might say about you in this world, or are you going to live for what others say about you? Whose opinion is more important? Whose opinion will matter most? I'm so thankful for Albert's willingness to share his story this morning as we began our service. You know, Albert's story is like all of ours. All of the details are a little bit different, but there was a point in his life where he was walking away from God, where he's on another path, and God brought him through circumstances of his life to confront the fact of who he was going to live his life for. And God brought him to the point of understanding what real hope means. This morning, I want to leave you with two invitations, and I can tell you that with all of my heart, if I could impart the seriousness of these questions into your soul, anything I could do to do that, I'd like to. Here's the questions. Question number one, or invitation number one, is for you to receive new life in Jesus. You might have grown up in church. Lots of us have grown up in church, maybe even called yourself a Christian. But if you were to stand before God right now, it would be clear that Jesus is not your life. See, my question for you is not, have you gone to church? Do you call yourself a Christian? The question that the Bible says is Jesus your life? You may have all kinds of excuses for why Jesus is not your life. It might be questions that you have that you haven't quite been able to figure out. Let me tell you, listen, your questions are okay. In fact, I think it's good that you have them. Because today, this week, you can talk to somebody and get them answered. And this is what the Bible is here for, is to answer our questions. It might be that your excuse has been, well, I'll do this later. I want to say this as plainly as possible, is that there may not be a later. Teens say, hey, I'm gonna live for Jesus later when I get in college. And college students say, I'll live for Jesus later, you know, when I have a family and children. And young families say, man, it's so busy right now. I just don't have the time. I will live for Jesus later. But listen, not all of us are going to have later. And even if you do have time, because I hope that we all do, you don't want to harden your heart toward God today. To hear the voice of God speaking to your heart in the way that it is today, and for you to respond, maybe later. Maybe later. I heard a saying a long time ago that I think is very true, at least it's been for my life, and that is that today's excuses become tomorrow's regrets. As a pastor, as a counselor, I've watched this live out in people's lives over and over and over again. Here's the second invitation. You might be a Christian here today, but you know that Jesus is not your life. For whatever reason, other things and other priorities, other distractions have taken your focus off of Him and put it on other things. And it just might be that today, God has placed this day in your life, this location, this time, in order that He would say to you, it is not a coincidence, all of these pieces coming together, God is calling you today to make Him, to take Him, to make Him your life. I'm going to ask if you'd bow your heads with me, and I want to ask you for a response. And if I can be bold enough today, I want to be very clear about the response that I'm asking you for. I want to ask you again, right where you're sitting, is Jesus your life? Is Jesus your life? If the answer to that question is not a resounding yes, yes, He is, then it might be that today God's brought you here for this purpose. And that beating that you feel in your chest and that sense that you're saying is, you know, why is that guy talking to me? That's not me talking to you. This is the work of God's Holy Spirit pressing into your heart now that this is the time. God has met you here, and He's asking a very specific question. He's asking, can I be your life? Would you allow me to be your life? If the answer to that question is not yes this morning, can I beg you to pray to God right now and just say something like, God, I want and I need Jesus. I know that I have sin in my life that separates me from You. And I know that I cannot on my own make my way to You. But today, I trust in Jesus. His death on the cross for my sin, and His resurrection from the grave as my Lord. Say it to God. Today, I receive new life in Jesus. Can I ask you one more question? Just everybody's heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just our pastors are around, looking around. Nobody else is looking. I wonder if there might be some that would say, you know what, I made that prayer And in my heart, in my own way, in my own words, I've said yes to God today. And I'd be willing to raise my hand and just say, Pastor, this is a new step for me, and I'd like you to pray for me. I wonder if there'd be some all around the room that just raise your hand and put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it down. Others, balcony, across the room. Hey, today, I know I need to make Jesus my life. Would you pray for me? I thank you, God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. It is He who we lift our eyes to today. We feel like we've been brought to heaven with the singing of our voices together, with the choir who's lifted up your name, with the reminder of who Jesus is and what He's done. Lord, I pray for these hands, a number of them that I saw, I think maybe some more that I didn't. I thank you for each one that you've come and you've met in this time. God, I pray today that this prayer of faith and this step of obedience, God, I pray that it would be a start of a new life with you. Would you come alongside them now in their desire to live for you? Lord, I pray that you would do this by your grace and with your power. It's been our privilege to worship you today. You are a good, good Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.